For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on Unlimited Welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on Unlimited Welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply. For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on Unlimited Welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on Unlimited Welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.
All people at home!
What's up with that?
You ready?
The drugs from my generation. And it's a sin. The gods, the freaks, the fraud, the messing with me. Come on.
Welcome to the Uso Penitentiary.
Let's get it out.
Talk to you.
Baby. If I can be serious for a minute.
For the love of God, stay away from the different dogs.
Move to the music, play the music, move it to the music.
Acknowledge me.
Welcome back to the DWI podcast. My name is PC Tunney, and I'm the artist formerly known as Pizza Funny, and I am joined, as always, by the man, the myth, the legend, the other half of the world's greatest tag team never. It's him, it is him, it doth be, the scientist, an architect, an inebriator, indeed. It's DPP. He gets me drunk all the time when I come over to his house. That's why he's the inebriator.
Well, I don't. I mean, you help yourself to the alcohol that's in my fridge, but just so happens that I have the alcohol.
I bring it with me, generally. I supply
that's
a lot.
That's true.
More than anybody else that comes over to your fucking basement.
You're the only one. God damn it.
So I grab whatever, the fuck I want. Speaking of friends, DP, we are not alone. While AJ was here last week, that was super awesome to see him and get to catch up with him. Hopefully we'll be seeing him again sooner than later. But speaking of friends, we have the best friend of the show here today as well, DP. You don't have the soundbite.
I should have brought the soundbite up.
The only reason
this is what happens when you're sick.
This is the only thing that Dave likes when you're here is that the soundbite is there.
That's not true. I love DP.
He's our best friend. See, I'm not gonna try and do a really good clean. That's Freddie Mercury's tough. But hi, Dave.
Gentlemen, how are we doing tonight? It is a pleasure to see you as always. DP, because I haven't seen DP in a while. So.
There you go. He's part timer.
Oh.
He's Roman Reigns.
Sounds like you're true. More a facilitator than an inebriator, Dan. I'm just going to throw that out there. You provide the location. Tony brings the booze. And, you know, you provide the floor for him to pass out on. So, I mean, that's facilitating.
Well, we went bowling last weekend, and I'm still paying for it. But we are not just the three of us either. Speaking of the Belaz brothers, like, this guy, he wasn't on the show for like 400 some episodes, and now he's here like every month, and we're glad to have him. And fresh before he starts his TNA coverage tonight, Andrew Belaz joins us.
Yeah, that is funny how that works, that it took like 450 episodes for me to show up once, and now you can't get rid of me. But so is facilitator your nice way, Dave, of just, you know, not using legal jargon and saying he's just an accessory?
Accessories sounds so criminal.
But it's involving Tunney, so.
That's true.
Support group.
Yeah.
Okay. Nice. Just so you support each other to get drunk. It's not the opposite.
Yes. The Thunderdome, also known as Alcoholics Anonymous.
Yeah. It's like Loudermilk in reverse. Like that's how it works.
Well, gentlemen, I'm glad we're all here today because big topics on the show.
Well, we're waiting.
Well, it's the big show.
Sheet. Yeah, Dan's got vocal issues going. It's the big show sheet. On today's show, we're going to talk John Cena's...
The Boogeyman showed up?
Change his name to Reagan at this rate.
We're gonna talk... That works too.
John Cena's first heel promo.
Your mother sucks cocks in hell.
Andrew's going to... I am not going to acknowledge any of this. I'm going to keep going through the big show sheet. Before Andrew gets out of here, about maybe halfway through the show here, we're going to talk a little TNA, NXT, what's been going on, everything he's been covering there. And then after that... After the last break, we're going to talk some sports. I'm going to brag about how my bracket's doing really well, and maybe by the time I get there, I won't be doing as great as I thought I was, but we'll see what happens. So before we do any of that, though, we're going to take a quick commercial break. Head on over to prowrestlingtees.com/thechairshot. Check it out. Plenty of great designs. Makes a great gift as well. I usually don't struggle with that one. But I did today. So we'll just...
Hulk Hogan cut that promo. He's the right gay guy at the right time.
Yeah. Well, I don't know about that, dude. Let's go to Chris Platt.
Why should you visit thechairshot.com? Thechairshot.com is your home for hard-hitting reviews, news, opinion, and analysis with attitude. Why? Because you're smarter than the average fan. Thechairshot.com. Always use your head.
Let's get into it, DP. Go ahead and ring that bell. All right. Do you have Do you have the best friend now? Do you want to hit it for Dave so he doesn't cry? There we go. Better now.
He's better. I feel so complete now. Dan, you complete me.
Ew.
Oh, gross.
I think I'll give you guys some time now. I'll just leave. Goodbye.
thanks for coming, Andrew. Good luck with TNA.
Thanks.
How did everybody like John Cena's first heel promo, huh? How was it? Was it good for you? Did you feel like you got dumped, Andrew?
It felt like it's everything he's wanted to say for the last 20 years, just in 20 minutes. So I'm not mad at it. Like it's the perfect old school heel promo because logically he made sense. He didn't lie. He was honest. Where's the lie in anything he said?
In wrestling, I don't know. There is no lies in wrestling.
Well, not when he'll say it. He'll speak the truth. Babyface is the one that goes, I'm going to win. I'm going to fight for everybody. I'm going to be a fucking, comic book hero. Heels are like, I'm going to beat the shit out of you and you're going to bleed. What happens? They beat the shit out of him. He bleeds. They don't necessarily win. But did he lie?
Did you like the reasoning of you don't deserve new music? You don't deserve new merch, yeah. You get to get what I give you.
Yeah, no, that's fine. Like I said, it felt like everything he's been trying to say for the last 20 years. Like, he ran down the Let's Go Cena people. He ran down the people that haven't liked him, that booed him when he was busting his ass for so long. The you can't see me joke for 15 years not being funny anymore. Like, and the fact that he went out of his way to, like, find a kid in the audience that they could zoom in on that looked, like, heartbroken was... fantastic. Gosh, I don't know if the kid was a plant or if he was smartened up ahead of time or whatever, but it was good TV. That's all that matters.
John's gonna have to pay for that therapy bill. Dave, piggyback off of Andrew, and then on top of that, like, I think it was perfect to have it in a foreign crowd like that. You knew what they were gonna do, and they were electric. Yeah. They were amazing.
I really hope that kid was a plant because, you know, the kid yells, I love you, literally seconds before John Cena says, including that kid right there is a toxic fucking relationship. And you can literally see this kid's heart break live on TV. So kudos to him if he was a plant, because he did a great job selling it. And if he wasn't, yeah, John's got some therapy bills to pay. And I'm sure he made it up to the kid afterwards. But the promo was great, man. It really was, like Andrew saying, it's everything he's probably wanted to say for 20 years. It makes him sound like just, you're just such a bitch, man. Where's this thick skin you've had for all this time? I mean, it's almost PTSD-ish that they've done this to him for so long and now he's finally broken. But yeah, I think having it done in front of a foreign crowd, you're going to get the most visceral reaction, because chances are when he comes back to the United States, he's probably going to get cheered more than he has for a while. It'll be the Roman Reigns effect. I'm certainly cheering for him in Las Vegas. I don't care what they do between now and WrestleMania. He will be getting my cheers in Vegas just because.
Proved WWE's point then.
That's right. I did.
Okay, good.
I'm not trying to disprove it. I am absolutely trying to prove their point. It is brilliant on their part, because unlike, I know Greg thinks that Cody's leaving WrestleMania with the title. I adamantly do not buy that for a second. I think Cena leaves as 17-time champion, but I thought the promo was excellent. It's the you'll get nothing and like it promo. That's really what I called this thing.
It's when is the next time Cody's going to have time, be able to take time off? Because right now, John's there. Rock may come around again. Like, they're pretty loaded. Everybody's pretty healthy, Dan. I mean, it's not going to hurt them to let Cody go away for a while. I like John winning it, losing it back to Cody, figuring out a way to come back face after a devastating loss, or Rock turns on him or something. But anyway, getting ahead of ourselves. DP, what are your thoughts on the heel promo, the crowd, our first thing we're talking about here?
Yeah, for the first part, I think it was done beautifully. The idea of having it overseas was perfect, because like you said, hot crowd, they're going to be over huge. I think the perfect, idea of him not changing his music, not changing anything, because it makes perfect sense. And it's already built into the John Cena sucks chant that they've been doing anyway. So there's no sense in making any of that change. And you keep everything the way it is and go, yeah, I'm, screw you guys basically at this point. Like, I think it's perfect. And I think it's everything he's wanted to do and just couldn't because of the character he was during his last 20 years, I guess. And now he gets a chance to do a heel run, and something I'm sure he wanted to do. And is like, look, that's my last chance. I want to at least do it as a few months and be a heel and be able to do that one more time before I'm done.
Think about the title defenses, he can have in over the summer, Orton, Punk, I don't know, throw in somebody that's younger that you wouldn't expect, and then Cody,
Roman. I mean, with Cena as a champ and Roman as a challenger, sure. That'd be really interesting. I mean,
and the fun thing about it is all these are completely different than you've ever seen before, because John's not the good guy now. But how about the Cody part of the end of the promo, DP, where he comes out and is basically like, this ain't the guy that I thought I was going to fight. Where's the guy on the shirt?
Yeah, I think they did pretty well with him as well, to go just kind of more of a shock factor ish. Like, what the hell are you doing? This isn't what I wanted. This isn't you kind of thing initially. And then basically said, hey, again, like, don't call me kid. I'm the champ. Like, I want that respect too. And kept it short enough where he didn't have to do any back and forth, on the mic with Cena just yet, but enough to show, like, I don't care who you are. I'm not backing down. I'm the champion. I'm the guy now, not you.
Go ahead, Dave.
Yeah. I mean, like DP was saying, Cody's like, where's the guy on the shirt? Well, they didn't exactly say it, but I think this comes up at some point in time. That guy on the shirt hasn't won a singles match in how many years? Right. And I think that's the angle they might want to do, is at some point, John Cena is going to explain that guy on the shirt hadn't won a singles match in how many years. So this had to be this new guy to come in here, because if I'm going out, it's best for business for me to go out as a champion. And that means do it at all costs. And it's ironically, or maybe not ironically, very similar to the Stone Cold Steve Austin's mentality before WrestleMania 17, right? Got to get my title back at all costs. What's the most unimaginable thing I could do? Sign a deal with the devil and my biggest arch enemy to guarantee that I got that championship. somewhere along the way, especially if Austin is going to be involved in WrestleMania and there's a lot of belief that he is, then it all becomes very circular and that sort of thing. So I love Cody throwing that in there. Like, hey, you know, I'm going to run through you and I'm going to retire you early. You're talking to arguably somebody on the Mount Rushmore of pro wrestling. So it's not going to be that easy. And I think they're just building up to a really epic main event.
Hard to argue with the points you both brought up. Like, he kept it short and sweet. It made sense. It was the babyface thing that, you know, I kind of brought up in the beginning, where he kind of uses hyperbolic statements that just sound good and pop a crowd, but don't mean anything in the grand scheme of how matches are laid out or a fight. Like, I'm gonna run through you. What does that mean? Like, it's nothing. It's just a flair word. And it's fine. I think Cody could hold his own going back and forth with Cena, even if it came down to that. But do you think we even get a Cena back and forth kind of promo? Because that's what the crowd wants. They liked when he used to make raps. They liked when he used to run people down. He doesn't give a fuck about them anymore. So is he going to even do it?
That's a good question. How much more do we see him as well? I mean, I don't know what else he's advertised for. I know that we're going to get Roman and Punk both on SmackDown tonight. Right?
I think so, yeah.
At least Roman, I know, is on SmackDown. I think they're both on.
Yeah, because Seth said Monday he was going to go to SmackDown, right? Because Roman and Punk would be there.
Yeah,
there you go.
That sounds right.
Yes, they're in Italy. That's right. So that actually, yeah, that's on in the afternoon. So if you're listening to us Friday morning, know that just like Monday, if you're trying to avoid spoilers, because I don't know that there's anywhere to watch it in the United States until 8 Eastern on USA. Because Netflix, it'll be on in Europe, SmackDown, I believe, on Netflix, but I'm not sure. So anyway, that's a good transition into that triple threat. That's gotta be for a number one contendership, Andrew. It like seems like there's gotta be more on the line for that than just the triple threat there. And what's the favor that, you know, Punk is owed?
Oh yeah, no, completely. Like, something has to come from it. Rollins has his thing with Punk. Punk is kind of needled at both Rollins and Roman, and, you know, Roman costing Punk in the cage match. Like, it's all kind of coming together. Heyman getting involved in everything too eventually is going to make a lot of sense. So you got to think that has to be an event, like night one probably, especially with the overall, I'll say, lukewarm reception to the Jay and Gunther build. Like, it doesn't seem like there's a lot of people that want that to main event. So
what about,
I think, a non-title match will main event.
What about Io, Bianca, and Rhea?
What about it? Like, Io is fighting with Rhea and Bianca just to get noticed because they're ignoring her. And it's bad when you have your champion being the one on the outside looking in for the feud that they want to, like, highlight.
I just want,
like, that's just awkward positioning and framing.
I just want to state for the record, I thoroughly am enjoying Andrew Blaz watching WWE again. DP, let's go back to the
God damn it.
Where's Chris so these guys can argue about WWE again? Oh my goodness. It was
again
hilarious.
That'd be like a first time.
No. Oh, maybe.
Chris's whole argument was, you watch that fucking Japanese shit, you don't even know what I'm talking about. I'm like, you're kind of right.
It probably would he'd still go back to that. Dan, just thoughts on how everything's breaking down as we're heading towards this gigantic triple threat on the men's side.
Yeah, I'm really loving that. You know, I'm glad they are pulling Punk into this and making it a big triple threat. And, you know, the Heyman factor as well makes it interesting, because obviously, Punk is owed the favor. Obviously, Punk and Heyman have ties from, you know, forever. And you can see Roman, you know, kind of sliding back to the old, you know, hating everything and, you know, the old tribal chief kind of feel a little bit, where he just, like, once he saw Heyman helping somebody else, he lost his shit. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we don't know where that kind of crazy is going to go. And if, you know, the whole thing with Rollins and Reigns forever, obviously, we know it's just, it's a really interesting story that they can all tie together. Certainly, obviously, you know, it's going to be some kind of, you know, if let's say Punk wins, you know, because I could see Reigns and Rollins feuding a little bit longer, but it's interesting if they keep that favor that Punk is owed in there somewhere. It's obviously going to come in down the line. I'm saying obviously a lot, but when, like, it still gets, it's got to be a ways down the road, because right now it's, it means nothing.
Is it a, you remember the movie Digstown, Dan?
The boxing one?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And at the end, he's like, and the guy takes a dive. Drop. Like, what if at the end it's like Roman Reigns, you know, Superman punch Rollins, spear Rollins, grabs Punk, puts him over, Rollins walks away. That's the favor.
Just think at this point, like, unless it's for, Dave, like, a title.
Dave is unbelievably less than thrilled. Go ahead, Dave. Comment on. I want some words instead of the. What were the words behind the eye roll?
It's too much like the finger poke of doom if you do shit like that. And they don't need that. Like Andrew says, I think you've got to have some major stakes on the line to elevate this match ahead of Bianca, Rhea, and Io, because that match is getting a lot more interest. I mean, Andrew's right. The champion's on the outside looking in, but that's the story. That's kind of the story that they're telling, and that's what makes it interesting, is the champion trying to not be an afterthought in this evolving triple threat that Rhea has inserted herself in. That makes it interesting. Jay is still wildly popular, although the IWC is trying to shit on him for botching a fucking move. Oh, because other people have never botched a move.
Hold on,
before.
Dave. I gotta mention a loosely quote a 20 tweet that I saw, and I think Andrew's kind of going down the same route. And it was, oh, you know what? TKO, Endeavor, and WWE have thought about it. You know, the fact that Jey Uso has the biggest reception in professional wrestling, the fact that the lines are out the door and around the street, the fact that his merchandise, they can't keep it on the shelves. You know, that's all great, but since he can't do, like, a suicide dive over the top rope, let's get him out of the main event, you know.
Yeah. Let's get rid of him. Let's release him.
My only pivot on that one is, think about, not even the IWC, but even casual fans of, like, not to jump segues, but even TNA, wouldn't let Top Dollar AJ Francis forget about that. He's had that Flop Dollar nickname for the last, four years?
Here's the difference, though.
And it's the same exact botch.
This is why it's grapes and watermelons, though, because one's a grape and the other one's a watermelon.
Was that a fat joke to AJ Francis?
No, he's the grape. He's done nothing. And then there's Jay, who's done all this watermelon's worth of work, right? You know what I'm saying? This is a great.
I'm not saying we gotta get fired.
Hold on, Dave. Dave. Hold on, Dave. We can continue more WWE talk after we take a commercial. But right now, I want to transition. Andrew's got just a few minutes left before he's got to get ready to do his TNA coverage tonight, and I just wanted to get his thoughts on what's going on. I know we just had a pay-per-view. I know there's been a whole lot of cross promotion with NXT. Just tell us what you've been liking, and I'm sure there's things you haven't liked.
Well, to stay on topic, I've liked what AJ Francis has done in TNA, because him and Casey Navarro have been fantastic, because AJ Francis hasn't really done too many dives. So that's good.
Update. He's 7 away. Obi got a goal already today.
Oh, look at that fucking A.
There you go. I got the hockey horn somewhere. Go ahead. I'll just interrupt you, Andrew, when I find it.
You know, I was doing that on purpose and waiting so I didn't get interrupted.
Light the lamp, bitch.
Okay. But yeah, so AJ Francis and Casey Navarro has been fantastic. The Moose and Obafemi match went exactly the way everybody expected it to. You're not going to have, you know, Moose take the title off of Obafemi. The Hardys and Fraxium was a good match. It was a big deal. Both teams looked good. Hardys got a win. Who knows what that might lead to. Ryan Nemeth has been surprisingly fantastic in this whiny little brother Scott Evil kind of bitch mode fucking character.
Did Nemeth get released from WWE, or did he just get secretly signed to a contract to go and make this thing work down there?
I don't know, because Nick's not even doing that good. It's just Ryan is doing great. And like this whiny bitch thing is fantastic. Nick finally pulled off his heel turn in the cage match and beat the fuck out of Matt Hardy. So it's going to be the Nemeth versus the Hardys at some point. Like, the things are lining up nicely. And you're even seeing like Metaphor, Lash Legend, and Chikara Jackson showed up to challenge for the TNA Knockouts title, tag title. And I think there's going to be a couple others from NXT. So like, it's nice that it's a more even partnership between WWE and TNA than, you know, TNA and AEW, where like no one showed up on AEW TV and no TNA wrestler got a win on an AEW talent.
That's so, right.
So like, at least, you know, Joe Hendry got put over a little bit on NXT, the Rascals, Wentz, you know, that kind of thing happened, and there's some give and take. So it's nice that WWE's not being complete bullies like some idiots in the IWC would lead you to believe.
That's just the extremely loud minority, right? And we talk about that all the time. Like,
isn't that the IWC in general, though?
Right. That's what I'm saying. Yeah. That's what I'm saying.
This is the minority of the minority?
We are the unsilent majority.
Listen, before we start talking...
The majority of the minority? The majority of the majority?
Before we...
How are we mathing this math?
Before we start talking more about minorities, why don't we just realize that four of the five white guys from Pod is War are on the show today. This
so
is
we're
your...
the most educated.
Why you gotta do that? Why you gotta do that, Tony?
Because I
had
to drop...
See, in the internet, we're the most educated, then. It's fine. I need to mansplain minorities to you as a white man?
Did you see somebody said that when Rhea Ripley signed the contract, she said white privilege?
Oh, my God. That's hilarious.
That's fantastic.
But she's Australian, isn't she?
She's still white.
She's not at their Aboriginal, Tony. Come on now, Jesus.
I don't think she's Maori or anything like that.
There's your episode title, Aboriginal Rhea.
Aboriginal. I didn't know she could use both hands.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes. You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply. For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.
There's so many different ways you can use that word.
Mm-hmm.
It's awesome.
Yeah.
You know, it's like when you can, like, it's like animals that can, that breathe in underwater and breathe on land, you know, those are ambidextrous, you know, but if you can, you know, use both hands, you're amphibious. That's just how it works.
I think he's been butt chugging the bong water again, Andrew.
I didn't bring it up, Andrew, just, you know.
Did you bring up two, maybe it was
I
two.
I butt chug salt water all the time.
Dave asked for it.
Maybe you're on two pitchers of like bong water though, instead of margaritas this time. Like, wow.
No, I'm good.
Your
I'm
kiddie
good.
Pool.
You didn't check the picture for the show today, DP? What does that mean right there?
The Stone Cold.
Yeah, what does that mean when that goes up for the podcast?
Is that you're drunk?
No, it means I'm off tomorrow.
That is right, damn it.
Andrew.
On his way to being drunk.
Andrew, give us your last thoughts before you get out of here. Thanks for stopping in, buddy. I appreciate it. Hopefully we'll be back with the pod as warm, you and Ray Cash next week.
Hopefully. So, yeah, I mean, surprisingly, everything I've been watching has been an enjoyable process. TNA currently, NXT, WWE, that's where it stops. So that's why it's enjoyable.
Before you go, any show outside of wrestling you've been paying attention to, non-sports, you know, just like kind of what you watch in bandwagon nerd style?
Two most recent things. I'm shifting gears. I've been kind of keeping up with that Tim Allen and Kat Dennings.
Yeah, not bad.
Sitcom. It's not bad. Shorzy, even though that is sports adjacent, had a recent season. You know, I'm a Letterkenny fan of Shorzy. Shorzy's all about hockey and shit like that. That's good shit. And yeah, I think that's about it. People are trying to get me to watch Frieren, an anime that came on Netflix again. It got a lot of hype for kind of being slower and a little more artistic. Haven't quite dove into it.
Watch Invincible.
I watched the first season. Thank you.
What I got to say about Letterkenny?
It's fucking embarrassing.
You know, this conversation's fast becoming a confrontation. So I think I'm going to head out.
Andrew, last watching suggestion. Check out the movie Heretic. It's pretty good. Anyways, thanks, buddy, for being on the show. I will talk to you very soon. Be good. Have fun with TNA. Later. All right. For everybody else, we're going to take a quick last commercial break. And when we come back, we're going to clean up some more wrestling talk and maybe some sports as well. This is DWI 468. Thanks to Andrew Belaz. Follow him at IWC War Chief.
This is your boy, Kenny Killer, telling you to make sure you check out thechairshot.com. Bringing you breaking news, interviews, podcasts galore, everything pro wrestling. Make sure you check it out, thechairshot.com.
Thechairshot.com. Always use your head.
All right, folks, welcome back, DWI 468. Dave, thanks again for coming on. You know, WrestleMania season, we love to, you know, keep everything going. We got to try and figure out a way to do a tri-cast for WrestleMania. Maybe this show posts on a Saturday instead of a Friday that weekend before WrestleMania so we can get us three and Kenny for sure. But before we were running down some different stuff, WWE style, Road to WrestleMania, what haven't we brought up that's really something you want to talk about? We can close the show with the Hall of Fame wrestling wise, because I know you wanted to talk about the Luger thing.
Yeah, just, you know, I try and not engage with too many people on X anymore because it's just such a shit show that I just. But when people say stupid things like they did today, I have to call them out on it. But no, I think getting back to the Seth and Roman and Punk situation, like I'm trying to think, you know, what the stakes could be that would make that mad. Because you can't just, I mean, you're not just going to throw a triple threat on there for no reason other than we hate each other's guts. No one's going to care. But
it's got to be number one contendership.
Not if you're trying to close the show with it, right? I mean,
well, yeah, but what if the favor that Punk is calling in ends up being, I'm just throwing this out there, the winner of that triple threat match gets added to the Cena Rhodes match for night two and turns that into a triple threat.
No, that's not. We've made it already so personal between John and Cody, right? Like the way that everything went down and The Rock is involved. Like, why is this a big thing where Roman comes out the champion and not Cena or something like that? I don't know, but where's the favor to Punk? Do you know what I mean? Right. And it can't be the winner gets like Heyman or something because Seth Rollins has no interest or necessity for a manager. He can talk the fucking, you know, room for days.
Yeah, nope. Number one contender is more logical, but it's got to be, it can't just be like, okay, whoever wins this gets a shot on Raw the next night. It's got to be something big like SummerSlam main event or something with some gravitas to it, right?
Well, isn't Backlash in St. Louis and they're supposed to be like Randy Orton then, you know?
Or maybe it's Clash in Paris, you know?
I don't know.
I got a feeling like it's not going to be for anything at this point. Like, and
just,
you know,
for the shits and giggles of it.
Then why would it be that it shouldn't be main event night one?
It's not
going
to close. Yeah. No.
Let Jey Uso close night one. Like why would they change? Because he missed a fucking dive over the top rope. They're not going to main event him anymore. Like, honestly, to me right now, I'd have the three girls main event night one.
I think I would do like you've been saying for a while. I'd have Gunther and Jay open night one. Fuck it.
Yeah.
Have them open night one.
I think that would be
what better way to have
to a huge start. That'd be amazing. I mean, Jay's entrance to start off WrestleMania would be
when everybody's at their highest energy levels, and then he leaves as a champion. And
perfect.
I mean, yeah, it's a hard road to hard thing to match. But yeah, I think I would put the girls on last. I'd put Rhea, Bianca, and I wouldn't do Charlotte Tiffy last, but I would do the triple threat last.
That can open night two, and then seeing as how you want to have. Like, here, this is a perfect way to do it, too, because if Rollins, Reigns, and Punk is for number one contendership, then that can be the match before Cena and Rhodes to end WrestleMania, right? Like, that's a perfect progression, you know? Night one, open with the guys, open with the hottest intro entrance in the fucking world, like, quickly becoming one of the greatest entrances of all time in its current state, right? And then close with just three of the best, three of the top 10 professional wrestlers in the women's division in the world right now. However, yeah, like undisputed,
scenario,
those three are in the top
ten. We close night two with a triple threat, Cody versus Cena. You're talking five of the best wrestlers in the world, all of them first ballot Hall of Famers, all going back to back on night two. Can't close any stronger than that. And you can't, I mean, whatever happens at the end of that triple threat match, you know, it's going to bleed over into the main event in some form or fashion. So, I like the way that sounds. I'm still waiting to see, like, for WrestleMania, like, what else gets added to this card, because they still got some room to go. There's still some matches to make. I mean, Orton and Kevin Owens is probably going to happen. You're probably going to get a multi-man Intercontinental Championship match, because now you got Penta involved.
I think you're just going to get him and Penta. I think that carries enough weight.
Unless Ray Phoenix comes out and helps Penta capture the Intercontinental Championship.
Yeah, and they go heel, right? Like, there's titles that are going to be defended on Friday Night Smack. WrestleMania's Friday Night SmackDown, Dan, right? Like the U.S. title possibly for the women. You know, I have a fairly good feeling that the U.S. and IC women's titles will be Friday Night SmackDown, possibly the women's tag as well.
Most likely they're going to do a men's U.S. title match probably as well. I mean, I don't know if that one gets onto the main card. You also got Drew McIntyre. It's going to be
him and Priest will have a blood feud match or something. It looks like, doesn't it?
Yeah. I'd imagine that's going to get on the card and not be on SmackDown or something. So
you got Jade. Naomi's got to be somewhere, either SmackDown or WrestleMania.
That's got to be on WrestleMania. Jade, you got to have her on WrestleMania. Like that could open night two, maybe.
Yeah. I mean,
yeah.
Trying to think like, Street Profits probably won't make it onto the card, although they're pretty damn over right now. So maybe you
I
do
would have
put
that.
Them
on. You got to have one of the men's tag titles on the card at least. And I would have them.
I'd put the Street Profits on over the War Raiders for sure.
I mean, because you can have, I mean, look where those titles are. But how about a triple threat between them, DIY and Motor City Machine Guns? Like that'd be amazing.
Yeah, you could do a four. You could do four on there through it too. You know,
sure, 100%.
Yeah.
All right.
KO and Randy Orton. We know that's going to happen.
Should.
You know, at least kind of Sammy outside looking in, but that's all right. Unless you are going to do some multi-man IC title match, like a ladder match or something.
Are they going to have the Andre? Have they been having the Battle Rumble?
I don't know if they've been having it.
I don't think so.
No, Andre the Royal Giant.
Hey, I just thought like Dan was saying, like, you know, you're talking like Street Profits, DIY, Motor City Machine Guns. Dude, fucking add the Hardys as the fourth team in that match at WrestleMania. That'd be fun.
Surprise again? Another surprise Hardys?
That'd be awesome.
Oh, sure. Why not?
Do it.
Yeah. I mean, that's going to happen sooner or later. They're being groomed back into WWE. That's going to happen, so. All right, let's switch gears a little bit here and talk a little sports before we go. You were talking about Ovechkin earlier with Andrew. He's what, six from tying, seven from passing now?
Yep.
And a record that people thought was like as unbreakable as, you know, Pete Rose's hits or Joe DiMaggio's hit streak or
Lou Gehrig's streak.
Brett Favre's game started, you know, stuff like that as quarterback. Yeah, Lou Gehrig, Cal Ripken.
I don't know if anybody's going to catch Cal, but
yeah,
no.
But Dave, you've been a Caps fan your entire life, you know, growing up in the area and everything. How, I mean, this is amazing for you.
It's amazing for me. It's, and to, you know, put it in the context of this, it is the 50th season for the Capitals. They are the best team in hockey right now, or at least tied with Winnipeg as the best team in hockey.
They usually don't do too well in the playoffs when they're the best.
They usually don't do too well in the playoffs, but
when they're the best team,
you know, they do have a cup to their name. They haven't done well the last few times they've been in the playoffs. This feels different this year. Ovechkin is part of it, but I, you know, when we were doing hockey talk, I would tell Patrick for a while, I wasn't really believing it, but the more I watch these guys, the thing about them is they're big and they're physical and they can just beat the shit out of you. And you need that in the playoffs. They can skate, they can score, they play good defense. They're going to be a really difficult team to get rid of. If Ovi breaks the record this year and they somehow win the Stanley Cup, he's done. He'll retire. There'd be nothing left for him to do or to prove. You know, and I know he's talked about wanting to actually end his career back in Russia with Dynamo Moscow, which is a team he actually started with all those years ago. And that's fine. If he can go out as a two-time Stanley Cup champion and the all-time goals record, great. So it's exciting for the sport. It brings a lot of eyeballs to the sport. Ovechkin is a, he's the best, probably the best pure goal scorer of his generation. I'm not saying he's the best player overall, because I think Sid, as much as it pains me to say that, probably still got him beat because of the cups and the Olympic gold medal. But Ovi's a much better goal scorer than Sidney ever was or will be.
Let's stay in that region. No, not Wizards basketball. But
ooh, we don't need to talk about that.
The Commanders, the Washington football team, have added some really nice elements in free agency. Left tackle, wide receiver. You guys are making moves over there.
They are. And they're doing it in a quality over quantity sort of thing. I like what Adam Peters has done with the signings. Debo's a big get. It adds a secondary target, you know, or he could end up being the primary target. McLaurin is.
You guys added another receiver today, too, I thought.
Somebody from Dallas. I don't know who.
Oh, Gallup. Michael Gallup.
Oh, Michael Gallup. Okay, that's good. They lost Diami Brown, which sucked. They lost Zacchaeus to the Bears, which wasn't so great. But they re-signed Ertz, who's a huge part. I mean, they don't get anywhere near the NFC Championship game without Zach Ertz. They re-signed Bates. They may have overpaid for, the guy on the defensive line who they got from, who used to play on the Jets and the Niners. I forget his name. But, I like what they've been doing. You know, is this going to put them over the top and have them surpass Philadelphia? I don't know. We'll see. But I think it's the right moves, and we'll see what happens with the draft. You know, they need some help at running back. And there's some running backs in the draft that can help them out.
Speaking of the draft, where is the draft this year? Oh, that's right. DP, you're an owner of the Green Bay Packers. Isn't it up in Lambeau Field?
Sure is.
I don't want to.
Nice
work.
And cold up there.
I want to bang on the drum all day.
Hey, what did you guys think of the big sale today? The Boston Celtics sold for $6 billion.
$6 billion. Good lord.
Yeah, if I have something and I can sell it for $6 billion, I'm selling it. I don't care what it is.
Yeah, that's a good way of looking at it.
It's insane. Yeah, I mean, like. Boy, if you could have just had, you know, a few hundred thousand dollars in the early 80s, you could have bought three or four different professional teams utilizing that money correctly and getting loans and partnerships and been majority owner. And you could be worth, like, the right three or four teams, you could be worth, like, $25 billion right now.
Yeah, I mean, to have the Celtics be the biggest sale of a franchise ever.
Well,
I mean, you think about the heavy hitters. I mean, well, the Celtics are the Celtics. Yeah, that's not
surprising.
They
have more championships than any other professional sports team, I believe, in America.
I think, I mean, I mean, the Yankees are up there. The Canadians are up there. But no, I don't know. Yankees, Boston Yankees, might have it.
No, the Yankees are like 20-something. Boston's like 24? 18 or 19. Yeah, it's the Yankees.
I don't think they had 20 yet, yeah. Still.
Yeah. Well, yeah, consider the Yankees have been around for 150 years. So, yeah, crazy stuff. Hey, another iconic thing's going on right now, and I'm watching some of it happen, and it's just an amazing the evolution that has been the March Madness men's basketball NCAA tournament. You know, and the women's tournament is great as well. It's just I don't follow it, so we're not really going to cover it right here. But make sure you're listening to Four Corners Podcast as well as Pod is War on Thursdays. We do a lot of sports there as well. But did you guys have any big picks or upsets that you had? I'm going to brag. I'm 8-0, and everything I picked is looking good right now as well. But it is the first round. Did you get your bracket in, DP?
I did. I believe I am 7-1.
Did you take Duke?
Then, because I took Auburn.
DP hates Duke, Dave.
But I did put Duke into the championship because you kind of have to this year. But I had Auburn beat him. But I'm also started off very solid, except for Louisville. I did pick McNeese upset. So right. I am there. I'm right there.
They, after being up 20 early, 20 after Jeez. Being up 23 in the first half, they won by two. Dave,
I kept daggering threes at the end of the game there. Yeah. Clemson trying to make a run. I was like, holy shit, like they're really actually coming back here. They had everything.
Dave, did you get a bracket in?
I did not.
No? Didn't even pick one online?
Nah. I don't follow college basketball enough to really.
Those are usually the people that win the bracket pools, Dave, let me tell you.
I would probably pick Maryland to go far. The way they lost to Michigan pissed me off the other day. But
Maryland got a 4 seed. I picked them in a couple brackets. I got them going decent. Sweet 16, maybe Elite 8. They got a good team this year. Yeah, your hometown region has been doing well, except for the professional basketball team.
Well, I mean, and the Wizards may end up with Cooper Flagg, so maybe that'll change their fortunes a little bit. They've been playing better like the second half, like the latter half of the season. I mean, they're up to 15 wins. I really thought they would challenge the Sixers for the most losses, but they're safely beyond that. Now I'm like, hey, guys, don't win too much. Don't fuck over your lottery chances.
All right, before we get out of here today, DP, it's been a while since you've been on Bandwagon Nerds, so what are you watching besides wrestling and sports right now? Did you catch up on Invincible? Did you guys binge it?
Boy, we haven't binged it yet. We're a little sick in the household, so we haven't been up for doing a lot of things recently, but that is probably next on the list. We started watching Resident Alien not too long ago, so we're kind of cranking through that, which is a surprisingly entertaining show. It's pretty fun from a few years ago. And then we also tried to start watching Breeders a while back when we were looking for just a show to kind of throw on. It's good, but you know, I think if you have kids, it makes a lot of sense. But it gets dark. It's really dark. And I was not ready for that. I was thinking it was going to be more on the comedic side. And I don't know. So we haven't gotten back to it yet. otherwise, yeah, we're just queuing up a lot of shit right now. Waiting for Severance to finish, we waited for Invincible to finish. White Lotus just started, so we're going to wait for that one as well. A lot of good stuff right now coming up, just Mythic Quest as well as on our list. So it's just waiting for those to kind of get close to wrapping up.
What are you playing right now?
Well, they had some Steam sales. They had some PlayStation sales. I picked up The Last of Us Part 2 to catch up on that because I had not played that one. So far, so good. As expected, it's really good. And playing Earth Defense Force 5, as I think I mentioned the other day, a couple weeks ago, which is just a, you know, weird, you know, no thought shooter type of game. You want something mindless. So that one's fun. Always playing NHL 25 still. And yeah.
Well,
that's about it.
you can tune into Bandwagon Nerds this coming Monday morning if you want to know what Dave's watching. But Dave, you rarely get asked what you're playing.
Been playing like, playing PGA Tour, 2K25, trying to get better. Finally won a tournament at the Corn Ferry Tour, so I feel better about myself.
Have you upgraded any of your attributes or bought any new skills?
Yeah, I've done all that stuff. I've been staying on top of that, and I think I'm up to a 70 overall now. So,
nice.
It's something. I think that game, it's the chipping and pitching are the hard parts. Getting out of bunkers and figuring out how to swing the stick to make sure you don't just thud it into the side of the fucking mound.
Yeah, you need to change your trajectory a little bit, but when you do that, it kind of brings your stripe, your leeway zone, it lessens it for sure. But that's where, like, that secondary screen after where you can increase your regular attributes, if you move over and it goes by category, like, you need to fill those trees up because you buy new shots and it makes it easier around the green, especially those different shots. Like, you get a super flop, you get a spinner, you know, a lot of things in between. And then plus, like, as you upgrade your equipment and put add-ons to your different pieces of equipment, it gets easier as well.
Yeah, I mean, and that was the thing, like, with EA stuff. They would give you all these different shots, and invariably you would find, okay, this shot works best out of a bunker. I don't need to mess with all this stuff. This is like, yeah, spinners are all fine and great, but if I just learn how to actually hit a simple fucking pitch or a chip, I don't need to worry about that so much.
I'll tell you what, Dave. I have a ton of rounds in. I actually, I've been playing in the ranked tournaments, shot like 35 under for a tournament, you know, finished in the top 500 in a single day tournament. 35 under was for four rounds, 60 like one. So, like, I'm not that good. But I rarely ever use chip or pitch. I never use chip, I'll tell you that. And I only use pitch when I have to. And that's because of these shots that you learn and purchase in that little tree. Though you have to go into those. It makes your game so much easier when you have these other options for you, especially around the green. Those are the ones I would buy first. So just a video game segment, we should have played a winner is you music, but it's the only way to score. But it's a fun game. It's great. I think the graphics are so much better. I have yet to find Augusta online, but when I do, we'll have to get Dan needs to go buy the game and start playing it instead of NHL. He just wins NHL like 9-1 every game anyway. So ring
up
the bell.
Like 15 with the international
team. All right,
team, so.
Ring the bell for me then. Damn it. Dave, thank you once again for coming on Road to WrestleMania. Anything else you want to get off your chesticles before we get out of here?
Yes. I think like the Hall of Fame stuff.
Yes. I was just going to say, let's go. You lead the discussion.
The big stink going on is that I guess WWE has maybe or possibly made an overture to AEW about having Sting come on to induct Lex Luger in the Hall of Fame. It should be Sting to do it. I don't think there's any doubt. And this, of course, has triggered the tribalism and the whining and bitching and complaining online because WWE just scheduled a bunch of house shows to run against All It or Forbidden Door in London. They're petty. They're trying to drive us out of business. Tony shouldn't do anything. Where's Retainer Boy when I fucking need him? Tony shouldn't do any favors for WWE. They're so mean to him, blah, blah. And I got sick of listening to it, and I shot back at somebody today. I was like, oh, but it was okay for Tony Khan to call WWE the Harvey Weinstein of professional wrestling. That was fine, right? But, you know, everything else that WWE has done in response to that, that's the problem. And I was just like, everybody's being petty. Both sides have done a lot of cheap shots. This is actually a good opportunity for maybe them to bury some of these hatchets and do the right fucking thing. Sting should be the one to induct Lex Luger in the Hall of Fame. It shouldn't be that big of a deal. And like one of the guys said something stupid like, oh, well, you know, Tony let Billy Gunn go to the Hall of Fame. And he allowed, you know, certain footage to be used in John Cena tribute videos. I'm like, look, asshole. WWE owns the rights to any John Cena match in a WWE ring.
I hate to be the one to point out who said that, but it's that Patty Meltzer guy who said that.
Oh, yeah. Meltzer. Yeah. But, I mean, everybody, he's got a cult as well.
He's lost it. I mean, or he's just laughing underneath and just looks stupid and doesn't know it. Like, I mean, it's just, yeah, it's, you know, it, wrestle. If you, it, here's the thing. It's funny, folks. If you like AEW, I'm not mad at you. Good. No. Great. Watch it. Enjoy. There's plenty of it to watch. Like, I'll give AEW all the credit in the world. They put out so much fucking content. Good for them, man. Good for them and their fans. But they're not growing. They're a young company that's not. They're so stagnant, right? And the plateau is not necessarily like sustaining either. It's just, I don't know. It's kind of sad. And we
saw the shit last night, right?
Yeah. Did you see that, Dan? Did you see the spike board?
Nails?
Why? What's the point?
Because it's the shock factor. That's it. That's all they got. Like, oh, let's just do something weird, and then you know, you ain't got anything to back it up.
Moxley will blade if he accidentally gets knocked over the top rope. I mean, it's like, wait, nothing even came in contact with your head. Why are you blading?
I've seen people bleed just watching a Moxley match.
Yeah. I do too. Uncontrollable rectal bleeding. A problem.
All right. That might be the end of the show. Definitely not the title, but the end of the show nonetheless. Dave, thanks for coming on today. I really appreciate it.
yeah.
You're my best friend. Let everybody know what's going on with Mr. Ungar, and please hype a game gone wrong.
Yeah, you can. We are about to launch the first episode, or first part, I should call it, in a 7-part limited run series we're doing on Attitude of Aggression and the Chair Shot, called Game Gone Wrong, which is where Tunny and DJ have seen all eight seasons of Game of Thrones. I've seen 7. I'm going to watch season 8 with these guys. Well, not watch alongs, but we're going to watch it and talk about it. I've never seen it before. So we will answer the eternal question. Was the final season as bad as everybody says? Hence the title, Game Gone Wrong. So part 1 comes out on Attitude of Aggression either today or tomorrow, and on Chair Shot on Sunday, where we do a recap to kind of set the table, so to speak, for where we actually start. We do a recap of the first 7 seasons of Game of Thrones. You know, when things were actually really great, and we kind of get ready for whatever train wreck might await me in season 8. So that's coming up. But until then, you can follow me on X at Attitude Ag. That is at Attitude AGGAGGS. Facebook.com/Attitude of Aggression and at Attitude of Aggression, all one word, on Instagram and Threads.
Interested to know if PC Tunney and DJ disagree on season 8. Does one think it's good and the other think it's bad? Or are you guys both on the same page?
I probably would imagine that I think it's more okay than DJ does, but I don't think DJ hates it like as much as the other people do. Like, DJ is like a well-rounded individual. That's why we like him. He doesn't necessarily act so extremist and stupid.
It's the beard. It's the beard. I mean,
I was insulting the extremists and stupid people, not DJ. I was giving him a compliment.
Oh, well, yeah, DJ's fine. It's the other idiots. I mean, other people, excuse me.
Yeah, people. That's right. DP, tell everybody about yourself and this shoe.
Oh, well, I'm a 42. What? Oh.
You're not 42. Fuck you.
No, I was saying 40, and then stopped. And went two.
Yeah, that's what I thought. I was like, wait, no, you're not.
No. You can follow me all over the worldwide social media interwebs at It's Me, DPP, and you can follow this show at Podcast DWI on the X and Facebook.com/DWI Podcast.
Follow me horizontally with a slow rolling trolley. Trolley, damn it. problems with words on the bookends today. But we do have this to make things go faster. Follow me at PC Tunney all over the socials. Just pick one. Chairshot Radio Network, all over your favorite streaming platforms. ProWrestlingTees.com/TheChairShot. Thank you, Dave. Thank you, Andrew. Hey, Dan. Thank you too, buddy. Thank you.
Aww. So lovely.
Don't get used to it.
For you.
What did he say? What did that fucker say?
TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
Yeah, sure thing. Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest, over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that.
Yeah.
No hassle.
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
What is... Dax, are you...
tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker? On all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge! Trucks up 3.9%!
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.